This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
The team behind the Cambie Current, Now Hear This Cambie podcast, and Now Hear This Studios has come alongside a group of Cambie High School students for a unique intergenerational storytelling project in honor and remembrance of the 20th anniversary of September 11th terrorist attacks. The result is the Cambie 9/11 Project, a documentary film telling the story of 9/11 through the lens of the Cambie community. The NHT team worked with a dozen student directors to interview nearly 30 community members from diverse backgrounds and walks of life, including first responders, military service members, teachers and students, parents, business owners, and civic leaders. What follows is a 5-minute sneak peek into this remarkable community project. We do advise that this preview contains audio that may be upsetting to some listeners.
No way. Holy mofo, what is that though?
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Did you hear what I said about it, Mike? Maybe not being a bomb? Because, like, it's up high, Mom. It's unbelievable. It woke us up.
Well, you can see these pictures. It's obviously, something devastating has happened, and again, unconfirmed report that a plane has crashed into one of the towers there. We are efforting more information on this subject as it becomes available to you.
Oh my God!
Years ago, we watched in horror as our nation was brought to its knees by an unseen enemy. In the blink of an eye, thousands of innocents died, and the course of world history changed forever. Never forget, we told ourselves, and in some ways, that was easy to do. How could we ever forget the things we saw and felt on the day that the world, as we had always known it, ceased to exist? But what about those who came after? How do they remember things they never saw? How do they understand things they were not there to experience? How do we pass the lessons of 9/11 on to a new generation? The answer is as simple as it is profound. We have to tell them about it.
I was getting the kids ready for school, and I was doing my daughter's hair, and she was sitting on the bed watching the TV with me, and she said, "What movie is this?" And I said, "It's not a movie, honey. Something really bad is happening."
I remember my dad was just sitting there, and he had this really serious look on his face, and he said, "You know, this changes everything for us." And I'll never forget him saying that. I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Emil, these are Middle Eastern people. Like, this is going to be bad for us."
And then the fear started coming in. And now I'm wondering, okay, so what's next? Is it Portland? You know, is it what's next?
A lot of unknown. And I think that's kind of why we just kept going. There wasn't really a protocol for what to do when something like that happens. So
it has impacted me greatly. I knew the pilot that hit the Pentagon, and it was very traumatic for me. A lot of us were not prepared for that. We weren't trained for that.
Feeling of dismay, sadness, because as firefighters, I knew when I saw that first World Trade Center Tower 1 collapse, knowing that we had just lost many brothers and sisters in the fire service.
It was that morning I was like, Dad, I'm gonna go fight in this war. And he's like, I know you are, I don't want you to, but yeah.
From the creators of the Canby Current, Now Hear This Canby, and CanbyFirst.com comes a local, intergenerational storytelling project unlike anything you have seen before. Featuring more than 40 first responders, military service members, faith and civic leaders, teachers, students, professionals, parents, children, and ordinary citizens, representing a diverse mosaic of experiences and perspectives, and remembering the events of 9/11 through the lens of the Canby community. Real stories, real people, the 9/11 Project, coming September 2021.
I'll never forget this. He looked at me and the first thing he said was, we're never gonna be the same. We're never, ever gonna be the same.
The film premiered in two free community screenings on September 10th and 11th at the Canby Fine Arts Center and is now available online at the Canby Current's Facebook page and YouTube channels. This project has been generously supported by Canby Foursquare Church, the Canby Fire District Volunteer Association, Canby Kiwanis Club, and Rotary Club of Canby. Firefighters responded to a vehicle fire at Knightsbridge Park in Canby Thursday. No one was injured, but the vehicle, a Volvo station wagon, was a total loss. Canby Fire Chief Jim Davis said the owner was near the river walking her dogs when she heard the telltale crackle of flames. She made the emergency call to summon firefighters to the scene, Davis said. Firefighters had to work quickly to prevent the blaze from spreading to the surrounding vegetation at the parking area. The cause is under investigation, but it is not considered suspicious. Davis said law enforcement is not investigating, and it is believed to be unrelated to a nearby vehicle fire last week further downriver, in which the body of a 65-year-old Woodburn woman was found. There's no connection at all, Davis says. This appears to be accidental, something under the hood. Canby Fire's engine had to go the long way due to a new weight limit on Knightsbridge that the Oregon Department of Transportation instituted earlier this year. Aurora Fire assisted at the scene. Now Hear This Sports is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. Most coaches and athletes are loath to acknowledge a moral victory. You win or you lose, they say, and that's all there is to it. But if such a thing does exist, then it would be hard to find a better example of one than the Cougars' narrow loss to West Albany, perhaps the best 5A team in the state of Oregon. It was Canby's home opener and their first fall game at the Cougar Stadium since 2019. The highly anticipated matchup between two top five ranked opponents went back and forth and down to the wire, but ultimately the visiting Bulldogs prevailed 17-14. Following a 26-20 road win over the number 6 Dallas Dragons, the Cougs roared onto the field with their first packed home stadium since Canby's 42-15 win over Roseburg on November 1st, 2019, and the energy in the stands was noticeable. So noticeable, in fact, that Fox 12's Friday Night Flights crew was out to cover the game. In front of the raucous home crowd, the Cougs began with a 3-and-out before super sophomore Tyler Connold, fresh off of a 2-touchdown performance against Dallas, intercepted Bulldog quarterback Michael Kale at the Camby 20-yard line. The Camby was unable to take advantage, and West Albany would score on a 12-yard pass to take 7-0 lead late in the first. The Bulldogs would tack on a field goal to make the score 10-0 before Camby head coach Jimmy Joyce, a longtime offensive coordinator for Beaverton, dipped into his bag of tricks. Running back Bryce Oliver took a pitch before throwing the ball back to senior quarterback Mikey Gibson for a 45-yard touchdown to tighten the score 10-7. Then, with 12 seconds left in the first half, Gibson would find senior Colby Kessler in the back of the end zone for a 13-yard score to take a 14-10 lead into halftime. Only after one first down in the first quarter, Camby had fought back to take the lead. The second half saw West Albany embark on a relentless 13-play, 80-yard march downfield that resulted in a 1-yard score. The Bulldogs were able to hold on to that 17-14 lead for the remainder of the game. With 53 seconds left in Camby driving, Gibson heaved a Hail Mary that was intercepted at the 1-yard line and effectively ended the game. Gibson finished 13-24 for 97 yards with 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and 1 touchdown reception. Gibson also used his legs, recording the longest run of the day for the Cougars. The loss drops the Cougars to 1-1 as they finish up their non-league play. West Albany advances to 2-0. Both teams will likely stay on top 10 in 5A ranks and remain in the upper echelon of 5A teams. When two top 5 teams in the state go head-to-head, it comes out to who does the little things better, head coach Jimmy Joyce said. Tonight, West Albany did those things better. We are motivated by the fact that we could see these guys again in November. Camby will be back at home next Saturday with a league matchup against North Salem. The Vikings just played an Albany team themselves, falling to South Albany 21-48. Kickoff time is set for 7 p.m. In volleyball action, after opening up the season with 3 straight losses, Camby volleyball got one in the W column on Thursday with a home league win over the Tigard Tigers by a set score of 3-1. The Cougars began their week at Lake Oswego, falling to the Lakers in straight sets, 18-25, 19-25, and 16-25. After a tough outline, Camby made sure to step up from the opening serve against the Tigers. The first set began with a 5-2 Camby advantage before outside hitter Samantha Vandekuvering started to serve. Vandekuvering recorded an ace as the Cougars went on to a 7-0 run to take a 12-2 lead and never looked back, running away to win the set 25-7. The Tigers responded by jumping out to a lead of their own in the second set before winning the second 25-16. The pivotal third set was back and forth the entire way, with neither team taking control. Once again, Vandekuvering came in to serve with the Cougars leading 22-19. The senior delivered another ace before Chloe Annas delivered a kill that won Camby the set 25-19. The fourth set played out in a familiar fashion, with the Cougars leading by a slim 13-12 margin. Once again, the team capitalized off Tigard miscues and took control of the set, outscoring the Tigers 12-4 to notch their first win of the 2021 season. The win puts the Cougars at a 1-3 overall record with a 1-1 league record. Camby will be on the road for the week, taking on Tualatin on Monday before heading out to West Lynn to face a 2-0 Lion team. Both games are set for 6:30 p.m. And finally, a mixed bag on the soccer field this week as the boys recorded another tough loss while the girls fought Nelson High School to a draw. Starting their season a week later than their male counterparts, Camby girls soccer got their season underway Tuesday with a 1-6 loss at Lincoln before rebounding on Wednesday with a 1-1 tie against Adrian C. Nelson High School. The Cougars, who boast a lineup consisting of 7 seniors, struck first against the newest high school in Oregon. Catherine Frentrist broke through 2 defenders and chipped a shot over the Nelson goalie to put the Cougars up 1-0 in the 17th minute. Camby headed into the half, maintaining their lead. Nelson would strike on a transition play out of the half, scoring from the 18-yard box in the 47th minute. Camby had a beautiful chance with 11 minutes remaining in the game with a shot from within the penalty box, but a save by Nelson ensured that the score would stay tied. The tie means the Cougars kick off their first week with a 0-1-1 record. First-year head coach Roberto Mastretti will see his squad get home cooking for the next week, with Camby hosting LaSalle Prep and Sunset on Monday and Wednesday. And after a tough opening week for the Cougars, Camby boys soccer played Southridge on Tuesday, with the Skyhawks emerging victorious in a high-scoring affair. Southridge struck first in the 13th minute with a goal from the top of the box. The game remained 1-0 until an absolute frenzy of scoring took place in a matter of 4 minutes. Southridge struck first with their first two goals within 50 seconds of each other, one a header and one a free kick, before Camby struck back with a goal of their own on a thorough ball that snuck by the Skyhawk defense. Southridge would then manage three more goals to take a commanding 6-1 lead before another Camby goal cut into the lead. The second half was not quite as prolific as the 8-goal first half, with Camby managing one goal on a mishandled free kick and Southridge scoring two additional goals to close the game at 8-3. With the loss, Camby slips to 0-2. However, both of their opponents in McKay and Southridge have gone undefeated against other opponents. Camby has drawn another tough matchup against undefeated Lake Ridge on Monday. Over 70 years ago, a seed was planted in the rich, fertile soil of North Camby. The seed was Swan Island dahlias, and today it has blossomed and grown into the largest leading dahlia grower on planet Earth. Family-owned and operated, Swan Island is one of Oregon's premier agrotourism destinations, boasting 375 varieties and 40 acres of gorgeous blooms. A sea of color that is among the most jaw-dropping and unforgettable sights in the entire Pacific Northwest. While their fields and annual Dahlia Festival justifiably get a lot of attention, Swan Island has a lot of amenities you may not know about. Their selection of gifts, gardening supplies, and other unique finds is among the most expansive in Camby area, and their fresh-cut flower shop, it's always worth stopping for. This summer, Swan Island is featuring a rotating menu of delicious food trucks Thursday through Sunday and a wide variety of fun classes for all interests and ability levels. The Dahlia Farm will also be hosting a local farmer's market every Friday and live music shows through September. Swan Island and their amazing dahlia fields are open 6 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., closed Wednesdays. For class registration, concert schedule, or more information, visit dahlias.com or follow Swan Island Dahlias on Facebook and Instagram. Attention hunters! The Camby Rod and Gun Club will be opening their 100-yard rifle range to the general public and club members later this month to give hunters and sportsmen the opportunity to ensure their firearms are properly sighted in before the hunting season kicks off. This year's sight-in days will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. the last two weekends in September, the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The cost is $5 per gun and $1 per chamber flag, which is refundable upon return. The Camby Rod and Gun Club provides the range officers, targets, experienced spotters, and coaches at each firing point to help with the sighting-in process. The Camby Rod and Gun Club is located about a mile southeast of Camby on the Malala Forest Road. Maps and more information are available at cambyrodandgun.org. No reservation necessary. Happy hunting.
Sherry Gwynn of Gwynn's Coffee House, of course. Hey, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, such a delight to talk to you. I say a lot, every town has a Gwynn's. Like, needs, every small town needs that place where you can get coffee. It's a meeting place. It's a community place. It's a place for events. I joke, you guys were our office before we had an office. I did so many meetings here. I probably should have paid you rent. But I want to hear a little bit about the history. And I understand that that's a part of it, that you guys kind of saw the need for a place like this. We had had coffee shops come and go, but there wasn't one at the time when you started this.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, when we started looking, interesting, we were just sitting around one day and two of my daughters were in the coffee industry. I was on the roasting and grinding side for 20 years, but they were baristas for 5 and 4 years.
Awesome.
And one day they just said, Dad, we should just start our own coffee place.
You know?
And I think they were thinking drive-through, and I was thinking, okay, let's do that. But I was thinking sit-down, because we love our community, and we knew that if we were going to do that, we wanted a place where people could come. Everybody can come. Doesn't matter who.
Yeah.
Could come and be respected, be loved, and have a good conversation.
Yeah.
And so we loved this space. It was filled at the time with Sean's Furniture Store.
Right.
And we were able to come in and, you know, we used to sit out in front of the... right out on the sidewalk on the bench and look in the windows, you know, and just dream of this space, because we really wanted it. Long story short, we got it. And we're in our fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And love our community, so grateful for the support that we've had through the years, and just absolutely love Camby and the people that live in it.
Mallory, how did you get into the roasting? I believe you did it as sort of a hobby, right? Well, I
worked for Boyd Coffee Company for 17 years and started back in 79. and so worked there, and then another 3 years for K&F Coffee, and that's whose coffee we serve today.
So you did do it as a profession.
So it was a profession, and... you know, we thought at one time we might want to start roasting our own coffee, but that's a whole nother phase.
Absolutely.
Of the industry.
So you don't roast the beans here?
K&F is down on 14th off Clinton in the southeast area, and that's where we get our coffee.
Can you tell me a little bit about why you appreciate that product and the work that they
do? Like I said, I used to work there.
Right.
So I'm very, very familiar with their roasting process. Boyd sold, and so, but K&F is really the oldest coffee roaster in Portland now.
Wow.
And they've been at it a long time. And I met the family when I was at Boyd's. They used to come in and do some work for Boyd's. And eventually they started their own coffee company. And I just love watching what kind of coffee, the care that they took to taste coffee and get the right beans in. And then I was very familiar with the roasting process and the rest of the process that goes along with roasting, grinding, those types of things. And so when it was time for us to pull the trigger on sources of supply and partnerships, we decided K&F would be the best choice for us.
One thing that is so delightful and so unique and wonderful about Gwen's is that you guys are so, I mean, there are a lot of family, quote unquote, family operated, family owned places, you know.
Yes.
You guys, it's just so proudly, and it's you and your daughters, and you guys are just everywhere. You're so ingrained in this place. You mentioned how that was sort of from the beginning, you kind of hatched this idea together, but how has that been, working as a family? And Sherry, you're not talking much, let's hear from you too. How has that been? And what was the original thinking to let's try it this way?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, there's always the... You know, for every upside, there's the side that's, you know, that comes with it. One writer said, you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other end of the stick, right? And the one end of the stick is that our daughters, all of them are hard workers. They're dedicated. Even through when we were working 13-hour days, they were working right alongside us and never said no. They were tired when we were tired. But they stayed with us. Working side by side with family has its challenges. It has its upbeat, because here's what we do know. Our staff's going to show up to work.
Yeah.
right? And they're going to show up on time, and they're going to do a great job because they're bought in.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Working with your family day after day after day, I think, you know, that Sherry can chime in here. You know, it's challenging, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the first 2 years were the hardest of all. We were tired. We were exhausted. I think we're getting better. I think we're finding our own, you know, areas, and we're finding our own rhythm back there.
Yeah.
And I think every day seems to be getting better and better, just in terms of, you know, working together. Because frankly, it's not for the working with family. It's not for the timid.
Yeah. I remember one thing that really helped early on is the daughter said, "Okay, Dad, you can do one dad joke a day. That's it." Can't take it.
Yeah, well, they don't appreciate my humor. I will tell you that.
I'm a dad.
So or I his music.
Or they don't.
The music.
Well, I think some of them. Sherry doesn't appreciate my music. But she's back there listening to Christmas music already.
It's
so.
September 1st.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
It's her holiday official season. Holiday season now. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But we are finding, you know, we're certainly finding our way, and you know, which makes it a whole lot easier, less stress. But you know, we've also changed our hours. We've shortened our hours up.
Yeah,
used to be open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Then we were 6 to 5 p.m. And then and on Friday nights we had live music every Friday night.
Yeah.
And those were really long days.
Yes.
And after we closed for 5 weeks when COVID hit. We reevaluated our lives.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing really about COVID is that for us, it gave us a chance to step away, look back on our situation and say, what do we need to do? You know, and so we came back. We were actually closed 2 days a week at first, Sundays and Mondays. And we shortened our hours from 8 to 2 on Saturday. And then we opened back up on Monday, but we'll never open on Sunday again. We needed a day of rest.
Yeah.
And it's helped tremendously with everything, you know, shorter hours. And I know, you know, we maybe abandoned a few of the customers that were here, you know, those early hours and then the later hours. But for us, it was survival, you know, right? We needed to prevent.
There's other places now. There are places doing the later night entertainment and stuff. You guys aren't the only, you know, sharing that full load. Yeah.
As we grow, who knows, we might be able to staff it to the outside and, you know, to the longer hours. But we have no plans to do that right now.
Yeah.
We're just...
Eventually you'll have some grand Gwens in here. Yeah.
Well, we've got our two grandsons. They come in once in a while.
Right.
They're eager to help Pa unload the Jeep and all those things with groceries and stuff. But,
but you're right, Tyler. With the addition of the new businesses downtown, we don't have to be everything to everyone.
Yes.
And we're not.
So, you know.
We have some great businesses downtown and more to come.
More coming.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we're so happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're as a community of hospitality businesses. And the retail side also has been enhanced significantly downtown. You know, it's bracketed. It's bracketed the hours. And so there you can come down here late night and still find things to do where it wasn't. I mean, when we first started, you know, it was pretty dry downtown.
Yeah.
And we just watched it blossom into something magnificent, really. And like you said, there's more to come.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about your food. Okay. You guys have some awesome food here. I feel, looking at the menu and what gets you excited, Mallory, with your videos, that when you started, when you kind of sat down and said, okay, what are we going to have for food? I feel like you started with the soup. Is that accurate?
We did. We did. Actually,
we
did a soup and one sandwich a day.
Yeah.
And just one sandwich.
Okay.
You know? And
that rotated as well.
No.
In the very beginning, we just did one.
We just did one sandwich,
gotcha.
and then
that's all we knew how to do.
After and then after a while, it's like
I feel that I'm not a one sandwich guy myself. Yeah,
we needed to expand just to you know get a little bit more interest there, I have a repertoire of about 27 different soups that I rotate. I don't rotate them evenly. We certainly do the soups that people ask for the most. We do those more often, and the ones that don't ask for, you know, we do those periodically.
So, yeah.
which is great. We have a short menu, but a great menu. We're so thankful to Joe and Ashley of Hive, the Hive up in Oregon City.
Okay.
They were so instrumental in helping us get started. Mm-hmm. He's a chef, and they do a great job. So we were able to learn a lot from them, and especially Joe in the kitchen with me, you know, just really helping me out. And so we've got a really good menu. The thing about our sandwiches is they're not like anybody else's sandwiches,
yes.
You know, and we're not trying to be like anybody else, you know. Obviously, we want them to be unique, and we believe they are unique. We don't have space to do our own smoking of meat and everything, but we searched out the best products that we can that we could find to build our sandwiches, and we feel like we feel like all of our sauces are homemade from scratch. Our dressing, our Caesar dressing, is homemade. Our tzatziki and our pesto, those are all from scratch, you know, grinding the basil and all of that stuff, you know, they're all from scratch. So are the soups. I don't cheat that system. And our soups are very good, you know. But I make them, so I'm a little biased.
Right. Everything I make, your most popular is a chowder. Is that right?
I would say the most, you know, we've got some that people, you know, we've introduced later that have become, you know, our potato bacon leek soup is a very popular. Our tomato soup is probably one of the most asked for soups, really.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting
to
me.
Can't eat that with a grilled cheese.
And but you know, some of my favorites, like today we have Zuppa Toscana. The clam chowder, cheesy corn chowder is another one that's just fantastic. Even the cheeseburger soup is good, but you know, pasta fagioli, you know, we've got minestrone yesterday. It's nice to be able to stand in the kitchen, cut the vegetables, and feel good about what you're making. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
rewarding.
Yeah. I don't buy frozen, I don't buy frozen diced potatoes. I get raw potatoes and I cut them up.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just what we do.
It's one of those things that just like fill the whole space with this aroma.
It does.
Just a kind of full body experience.
Every time they come in the morning, because I get here a couple hours before the rest of the staff does, and they guess the soup by the fragrance, and sometimes they can smell it in the alley.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So we love, you know, here's the thing. We our food, including the soups, the breakfast sandwiches, all of the things
which is
we
amazing.
Make, which, you know, the two breakfast sandwiches we have, those actually sell more than any other sandwich.
Yeah.
We sell more
and
of
those. And those are unique.
And
the
those
bear
are,
and
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
very unique. Wonderful. Lots of layers
and
of flavor.
And that was just Mel. I messed around in the kitchen one day.
You guys,
day.
And with your bagel, you guys are the first ones that I saw. Now everyone does it, but they serve them with the two bagels like a sandwich.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and I feel like that was almost like this conserved plate space. But that's how my kids eat them. They're like, oh, bagel sandwich.
No, right,
like,
exactly.
You know, I always take it apart. But
yeah. So, you know, we wanted the best possible food, given the limitations that we have here in the house. We don't have a hood, you know, we don't have a grill. So we, you know, do everything on induction oven and skillet, or induction burner and skillet. But I will tell you this, our food, our coffee, which is, the girls do such a fantastic job on the coffee side. Nobody does it better, really, nobody. They do a marvelous job. But it was always secondary to the number one product. And the number one product at Gwyn's is the Gwyn's.
Yeah.
And we've always wanted it that way. It's in our business plan to be that place where you come and be made to feel special. And sit down, and because here's my strong belief. My belief is that everything, building food, everything can be duplicated.
Yes,
but we can't be duplicated.
Mm. Yeah.
So we have to be, we have to be on our game all the time. Are we on our game all the time? I'm sure there's been times when we haven't been on our game. But it is our heart, and it is our mind to love everybody that comes through that door and to make them feel very special when they're here.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the goal. And if we can do that and serve great food in the meantime, then, you know, we have our space.
Yeah.
We have our spot.
Mallory, earlier in this interview, you talked about, you know, kind of the funny sort of miscommunication between you and your daughters. Like, they were thinking drive-through, you were thinking sit down. From the time I've known you, you talked about this place, I think it's on the wall over there, about this being Camby's living room, and, you know, wanting to create that space where people really feel comfortable. Obviously, we've talked about the food and coffee, you know, getting a meal, but hanging out and just really lingering, you know, even when they're not hungry. Can you tell us how, we'll take a quick break there, maybe think about your answer. He needs to buy.
Yeah, so. That's important.
Yes.
What's Chris's husband's
name?
Chris and... let's go on.
His
name is...
Todd.
He's every time he does something here, he has them with him.
Every time. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him with that.
You would think that he would have. Yeah. So we've got to make sure that we bring those square dice.
Those what?
Square dice. Do you know what time that thing starts tomorrow? Patricia's.
It is tomorrow. It's on my phone. I think it's
Tori to drive separately tomorrow. Did we only fill up one bag of food? Did we only fill up one bag of picture?
It's in the bag, yeah. What did you say? Don't forget it.
We only filled one bag, right? And then you already opened up the second one. I'm sorry. Yeah. Where's it at? Where's the full bag?
The full one? It's in the cubby.
Okay. Need to make sure and not forget that.
Talking about the atmosphere and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tell me why you felt that was an important part, you know, of your business plan, that you wanted to establish that, and sort of how you go about kind of creating that this atmosphere of being the community's living room.
So we knew, you know, the space was part of that, certainly. We had a good amount of floor space.
Very
we loved the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We love the idea of couches in here, and Sherry thought longer term, you know, having a fireplace there. And then one day, Chris Rocha and Todd came in. I don't know if Todd was there, but I know that he was involved in it. But Chris came in and presented us with the sign that's above that. And it was it's really, but first coffee. And then down below it says, Gwen's Coffee House, Camby's Living Room. And it really did define what we had intended all along. It was a really, it was like a, I don't know, it was like, wow, that's exactly what we had in mind, you know. And when she presented that, we were forever grateful mm-hmm. for it. We love it. We love displaying it. Because it really does say what our purposeful intent was when we opened the door.
Yeah.
You know, and really that culture doesn't just happen. You mm-hmm. have to develop it and create it. You got to get better at it, and you got to constantly be thinking and looking back on ourselves and saying, are we doing what we intended to do? Are we constantly, you know, are we constantly at the business of our customer?
Yeah.
And not just, like I said, it's not just the food side, but it's having conversation, because, you know, we wanted a place. In fact, our little A-frame sign, when we have it out front, you know, it talks about great coffee, great food, wine and beer, and then down at the bottom it says, and great conversation.
Yeah.
You know, that was on the only advertising, you know, kind of that we do outside. Other than our signs on the building,
right.
is that A-frame, and it really down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And we could have put that great conversation up at the top, but as long as it was in there, we wanted people to know that this is a place, great place, a safe place to come and sit and not be rushed out.
Yeah.
Well, and we've had so many people, just like what you said when you first were starting, you know, but this has been so many people's office.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can think of a dozen right now that come up on in a regular basis. In fact, right now, little bit different subject, but there's a man in here. This is his second day, I think, in a row. He's been here all day long.
Yeah.
And the reason being is they lost their internet at home. He usually works from home.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, I'm sorry to be here all day. And it's like, no, you're welcome to be here. I'm glad that we have it for you to use.
Right.
So, you know, during the ice storm, we had people, you know, here all day long because they normally, you know, so that's the kind of place that we wanted people just to feel welcome to do that, if that's what's,
right.
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, not to dwell on this, but I know that's a big part of the reason that when COVID hit, it mm-hmm. was so, I mean, it was difficult financially mm-hmm. for all restaurants,
Absolutely.
But it was so emotionally difficult
yeah.
for you guys in particular, am I right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
we
be able to have indoor dining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not to have indoor dining. In fact, I know that there were times that we were in the back, so this is not at all the business that we... started
fast food. Yeah,
you know, it wasn't about lines.
Yeah,
get handing your food off and having no conversation. It was not about that at all. It
yeah.
was never about that.
Yeah.
And we're grateful that we're in a place now where people are free to come back in and sit down and enjoy their time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's about all they're going to let me do.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys have to share?
No, we're excited and,
yeah.
you know, for the future. We'll see, you know, we're hopeful that we'll stay in this particular phase or even move out of the, you know, mask mandate and into just total free from all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you
yeah.
know, that's obviously not our decision, but
yeah.
that's what we're hopeful for. But more than that, people are anybody's welcome here.
Yeah.
We just want people to know that they're welcome here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're glad you guys got that break you needed. We're so
yes.
glad the Gwens are back at it. And thanks so much for taking time out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons and Dragons camp, led by Camby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by anytime and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Camby or online at booknookcamby.com.
Hi, everyone. Donna Ellison. Hannah Ellison with Ellison Team Homes. We wanted to come and talk to you today because we're super excited. A couple of things we're doing this month. We are one of the sponsors for the Camby Rodeo. Can't wait to see the rodeo because we love that. And the fair and all the kids. We've missed it for so long. So come see us this week at Camby Rodeo. Get your giddy on. And then the other thing we want to talk to you about, which is kind of the biggest news all year in Camby, is that we're back to being able to do our Camby Big Night Out and our Weekend Out.
Gonna be amazing. We have live music. All of the local businesses are showing up and supporting in any way they can, whether having food, having a tent. There's gonna be so many activities for kids to do. Also, stuff for adults as well. There's gonna be dancing. And we actually are gonna have
a dunk tank. And we're super excited. Right, my goal, which I think I'm hitting it, is to have at least one kind of well-known person every hour that we can throw balls to knock that person in the dunk tank. I'm not going to drop any names because I'm not that kind of a girl, but I will tell you we're going to have some really fun people that you're probably going to want to throw some balls at. We're going to do that part of it as a fundraiser for Fido Animals. You probably already know we partner with them so that we can help coming into this time of the year. Big needs for animals, which is really seniors and veterans and people that are not able to buy food. So we're doing that portion as a fundraiser. We're gonna have swag. Come see us. We're super excited. The rest of our team, we can't wait to see you. It's been a long time. We're gonna be outside. Of course, we'll be taking all of the precautions to make everybody safe. So come hang out and have fun with us. There are some things we'll never understand.
Everybody know what that is?
Not one of our usual intros for these segments, but I think it worked.
That's like the beginning of every movie.
Right. So we're here at Camby Music with owner Brian Haynes and Nathan Doty. Hey, Nathan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Welcome back into the show, guys. There was a reason we went with the drums.
And that is because that's a snare drum, and a snare drum is an integral part of school band.
Yes, I'm sure any former band member was just taken back the instant that they yes. heard
and
that.
And the struggles that they went through to learn how to roll,
yes.
do a drum roll.
Yeah.
So
we're in the thick of it.
Yes, a school starts on Monday. Actually, by the time this podcast comes out, school would probably have already started.
Yeah, hopefully.
We won't talk about that. Right? Everything's normal and fine.
Yes, this is fine. but I'm sure folks have been, you've been getting calls and orders and things.
Calls and orders. We've been talking with band teachers, and we're getting all of our stuff updated around here, getting new flyers. We got a new van to drive around to the schools to pick up instruments, and we're getting all of our back to school rental nights lined up where parents and their kids go to the school and rent the instrument.
Yeah.
So all that is quickly approaching us.
Yeah, yeah. The store is just like filled to bursting in here. Like you've had so much inventory. It's
well, and yet,
I've ever seen it.
So, and upstairs,
In a room is all the rest of the band instrument stuff.
Yeah.
It's all ready to go. And we stocked up a long time ago. We put in orders because things are so back-ordered.
Right.
And out of stock everywhere.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough to make sure we were stocked.
Was it hard to plan an inventory because you weren't
sure? No, exactly. I just going to roll the dice.
And yeah.
I would rather have
stuff. Yeah.
I'd rather have a bunch of inventory and not and things go south than the other way around.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the ones without the instruments.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What have you guys heard from the band teachers that you've been talking to, maybe students? Are they excited to be coming back? Are they kind
yes.
of nervous? Like, what's going on?
I think it's no secret that all the band teachers did not like the distance learning. It's pretty...
It's hard.
Well, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you're doing just normal math and science or whatever.
Yeah.
But school band is a group. It's like a team sport. It's
yeah.
like trying to do football on Zoom.
On
it's pointless.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yes, mass and all, they'll figure out a way. As long as they're all in the same room, they'll be able to have band. It'll be a lot more successful.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome, cool. Nathan, how have things been for you lately? Coming back, does it feel a little bit more like normal? You're getting some of your normal repair orders and things, and like,
yeah.
How did you get a shoe inside of this tuba kit now?
Well, actually, so that was a really good story.
Yeah.
I got a trigger trombone in middle of the summer, and they were saying, whenever I play the trigger, it is really stuffy. And lo and behold, I found 4 gummy bears inside of the slide.
Yeah, don't do it.
And so every time they blew through it, they were having to pass all these gummy bears.
Oh, man.
I still don't know how they got there, but that was pretty humorous.
That
yeah.
is funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing the repairs for quite a few of the different schools this summer, and yeah, finished with all those. It was probably a lighter load, I'd say. Not as many kids were playing on them, but it was still nice to be able to get to work on some, get them all ready for the school year. I'm sure that the teachers are nice to have all their inventory ready
yeah.
to go,
yeah.
sanitized and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah,
it's been good.
And you guys, you know, like we're trying to remember what normal times used to be like, but like when school's in session, that's a busy time for you guys as well. Could you stay busy doing repairs, doing services, that type of thing for all the bands that you service?
Right. September is generally on par, if not better, than the Christmas season for us,
yeah.
a store like us.
Yeah.
Because it's all the back to school. That's what everybody rents. And even though we're doing a lot of the repairs in the summer, when we're returning them, that's when all that money's coming in. And so, yeah, back to school is a big deal.
Yeah.
And people are signing up, you know, for lessons for people that are just starting band. Yeah, so this is what we work for during the summer to
yeah.
get ready for.
Yeah. What are some of the... kind of other positive benefits that you see from kids to do band? I imagine that, you know, like sports and like other extracurricular activities.
So they make friends for life.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
there's going to be a whole group of kids that 5, 10, 20 years down the road, you know, they're going to always remember that time and run
right.
into each other.
Right.
And they're going to learn how to work with each other. And they're going to have to be able to play this song
mm-hmm.
in front of people or whatever. And even if one person wants to do something one way, when somebody wants to do something another
yeah.
way, they learn how to compromise
yeah.
and work together.
To work with a team. Yeah. I bet that's a skill that can serve in a lot of office roles and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And just the self-satisfaction of being able to play something. For a lot of musicians, when they finally play something and somebody in the room goes, "Oh, I know what that song is," that's a very satisfying feeling for a young musician.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to add over there, Nathan?
Oh, as far as music goes, they say that, yeah, doing music really helps with your memory later on in life. I mean, it's something that everyone can use the entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing I enjoy more than playing in a band.
Yeah.
I mean, I play the saxophone, so
right.
when we all get together and we just form that music together that first time, oh man, it's
yeah.
so much fun.
Yeah.
yeah.
That explains a lot, because I was not in a band and I'm not musically inclined and I can't remember what I had for breakfast. Terrible, terrible memory. So it's all falling into place now. What else? We've got the really cool new wrap on the van, which is looking fantastic.
Yeah, we got a new van.
Got some merch.
It's from the sign shop, Daniel Pines.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In
Hubbard.
Not anymore, Barlow.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So right down the road, she does a great job. She also did a lot of the stuff on the side of the building.
Yeah, yeah, that looks fantastic.
So now I should get a discount.
Right, right. Throw that on there. Well, you can ask. You can always ask.
That's good for 20%.
All she can say is no, right? What's the idea with that? You'll do deliveries? Are you going to do parades? I know you're a
parades.
Guy.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. You're a parade guy.
I don't think that van.
I
can
see Nathan playing the sax on top of the roof there.
On top of the van.
Yeah,
that I like. I'll drive it. Yeah. He's on the roof. Great idea.
Right.
So, we've always gone to the schools out here. So we go around to the different schools, and because some of the instruments are instruments that the students own or rent. But a lot, especially the bigger instruments, are owned by the school. And so they will fall into disrepair from time to time, and we'll go and pick them up. Or they might just need supplies.
Yeah.
Accessories of like drumsticks or reeds or something like that.
Yeah.
And so whatever it is, we go to the schools. We kind of make a routine out of it. Of course, none of that was happening last year.
Right.
And,
gotta remember. Yeah.
Some
of these rhythms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now we got that, and we'll see how much of that's going to happen at first. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Cool. We're really excited for you guys getting things cautiously, slowly back to normal here in your new space, finally able to be Canby Music again fully. Mm-hmm. But in this great new store that you have.
Yeah, I almost forgot. In a couple days, it'll be 1 year when we moved in here officially.
Oh,
so I say September 1st. Of course, we were already kind of moving in here and getting stuff going. But officially September 1st. And so tomorrow we're all going to go out and have a good dinner together.
Nice.
And just kind of celebrate that fact and get ready for the new band season. But yeah, 1 year in the new store, and couldn't be happier.
Awesome.
We got all the space we need, and we have our lessons rooms. Lessons have been going great. Repairs have been going great.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Anything else to add?
Come to Canby Music for all your musical needs.
CanbyMusic.com, Canby Music.
Oh, yeah, we just updated the website too.
Okay, yeah, looking great. Well, thanks so much for being on, guys.
Yep.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Hey, James, what's going on with the internet? The Wi-Fi is all spotty.
Well, is it your internet or the Wi-Fi?
What are you talking about? Aren't they the same thing?
Well, kind of, but no. You see, your home or office accesses the internet through underground fiber cables from DirectLink. It's actually your Wi-Fi router that converts that internet connection into an over-the-air signal for all your wireless devices.
Okay, you lost me at kind of?
Why do I even even try? Look, you have seen like a box-looking device around the studio here. It's probably hidden under. It's under a thick layer of dust.
No, I don't. Oh wait, is it that blinky, flashy thing behind the stack of old pizza boxes?
Yeah, yes, it's the blinky, flashy thing. That's the Wi-Fi equipment that connects your iPad, your PlayStation, and the laptop to the internet.
I bought that off Craigslist like 8 years ago.
Frankie, I think we just found your problem. Your Wi-Fi equipment is ancient. Electronics, they get old fast, and even when new software updates or faster broadband comes out, your old router just can't keep up. It's like expecting a Model T to outpace those new F-150 Lightnings.
Great. So now I have to make Tyler go buy, I have to go buy a whole new Wi-Fi setup? How does he, I even know what to get?
Look, I'm gonna make it simple. Just call DirectLink, man. Their professional grade Wi-Fi equipment is super affordable, and they'll manage the updates and the network security for you. They'll even help you install your new router in the perfect spot to get the strongest possible signal. You can visit directlink.coop/Wi-Fi to get started.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to make Tyler call DirectLink today.
Now Hear This Cambie is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Cambie by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Cambie is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.